We are on the third and final week of our series on the Prayer of Agur, and would remind you, as always, you can, if you missed last week, you can hop on the website, lindenroad.church, click on sermons, and you'll find all the archives there. You can find the video, you can find the audio, and any notes we may have provided. But we are using this book by Jay Pettlinger called The Prayer of Agur, so just to help better unpack. It's a delightful little read. You can read it in an afternoon setting, just to help get a perspective on this prayer that even I, to be honest, I've read through the Bible four times in the last 4 years, and somehow in this book of Proverbs, I completely missed it in the context. And I don't know whether it was because in the first verse where I was looking for the word weary, and it popped up, and yet the reminder that even though he was weary, that he will prevail. And so it's out of that that I want to just lean into our time together this morning to look at the prayer, to give some thoughts on what this prayer can mean to us in the crazy times that we've been through. Let's use this prayer as our opening prayer this morning. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you, and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and to dishonor the name of my God. Now, in review, right, we know that the book of Proverbs, it's considered to be wisdom literature. We know that the author, or at least the compiler of the first 29 chapters, 1 through 29, is King Solomon in all his wisdom, right? And then Proverbs 31, the chapter that follows this one, is the one that talks about the wife of noble character. It was actually written by King Lemuel. And this chapter 30, it's written by this guy named Agur, and we don't know a lot about him. We know that he was a collector. And what's also interesting is that it's in this chapter that we find the only prayer in the whole book of Proverbs. And it's a very powerful prayer when you think about how simple it is. It's two simple thoughts. And it's really remarkable, and yet it's overlooked. And now, if you'll be reminded, 2 weeks ago when we looked at Agur, we unpacked the idea that he's a prophet because of some of the things he said prior to the prayer, in verses 1 through 6. And then we also know after the prayer, he's a compiler of various lists, right? He lays out in a way to actually remind us, if you will, the things that we need to be doing, the idea of exploring God's word, the idea of seeking God's purpose, the idea of appreciating God's undefinability, the idea of pondering who God is and his timeline of just how history and the future may work, and to also be reminded to affirm who God is as God, and then finally to understand that there is a eternity that's yet to come that we all are going to be participants in. And then last week, we really looked at the prayer and unburied it and dug into the treasure of what it offers us. And it's three simple verses. And yet at the same time, I think, as we looked at it last week, we're reminded it's really a pretty shocking formula, if you will, for trusting God. And where I want to go to today as I wrap it up is really that it can become the basis upon which we can discover God's will for our life, no matter where we're at in our lives, whether we're a student, a young adult, we're in a season of retirement, and all these things as we think about what God is doing in and through us, how we better develop that. And it's this idea of trusting God that really is core to who all we are as people. Because you see, when we trust God, then we can have a clear vision of where we're going and what our purpose is. And then even more importantly, how do we find the strength to achieve it? And to understand our purpose, what I want to do is I actually want to flip ahead from this prayer of Agur in chapter 30 of Proverbs to the next book, to the opening pages of the book of Ecclesiastes. Again, it's a book that's within the classification of what we call wisdom literature. I'll bet that you've probably heard this passage before, and maybe not as scripture, but maybe even as a poem, if you will. But I'm going to guess that if we really think of it, that what it's going to show us is that all of life, when it happens, it really happens in the context of seasons of sorts, right? So when we get to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we get a reminder that no matter what you're going through right now, that the exact opposite of that is just around the corner, And there's always this tension in our lives. So, for example, whenever you find yourself crying, more than likely there won't be it won't be too long before you're laughing. And if you're speaking up about something, there may be a time right around the corner that you're going to end up staying quiet. Or if you're holding on to something tight, that you're going to have to let go of it. And so life is filled with all sorts of tensions. And so here, look at these words from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 8. The writer says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." And so what's interesting, whether it's these words here in Ecclesiastes 3, or we think of the prayer of Agur, both of them, and to be honest, all of Scripture and the stories we see in Scripture, these verses are asking us to do one simple thing, to trust God, to know that He's in charge and that He has His best intent for us. Now, I have to tell you that when I've had the opportunity to counsel people through difficult seasons of their life, it's exactly that, and I'm quick to point that out to them, that it is a season. And we know, like the seasons in the earth, that every season has its plan and its purpose. And we know, too, right, we can't jump from one season to a season farther. So the idea of jumping from winter to summer, you got to go through spring. Or from spring to fall, you know, you got to go through summer. And so we need to be reminded that there's a cycle to life, a familiarity that we can lean into that can give us hope in the midst of when we're pushing through something that's difficult. And I think it's also interesting that in this list of seasons that King Solomon writes, that just a couple of verses later, he gives three key observations, if you will, about how to live a life that has purpose. And he says what here? "I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is a gift of God." And so what's he saying here? Real simple. Be happy, do good, find satisfaction. And if that's even too hard to understand, maybe more simply, just simply that we need to be and we need to do and then we need to find. Now, it's interesting that, too, in this being and doing and finding, that Solomon points out that these are what? They're a gift. And so if they're a gift, it shouldn't be something for us that are difficult. So really what I want to talk a little bit about this morning is this idea is how do we find what we would call God's sweet spot for us, to find that place where we're really supposed to be with all our energies and our efforts. Because, you see, if we realize that there are things that only we can do, it really can change the whole world. And so it's really about this big finish, if you will, of trying to pull together the last three series, if you will, the series about how to bless our neighbor, the series about the work of the Holy Spirit, and then now thinking about this prayer that actually is very simple but helps us to be reminded that we need to depend upon God. And He will show us what our sweet spot is, and we can live into the full purpose that He has for us. So I'm going to give you your assignment here in just a moment. And it's all about this life-changing project that the reality is only you can do. Now, that can be kind of scary, right? And maybe it should be because of the size of it. And yet, when we're talking about living in God's will, and then all of a sudden you realize that, oh man, I've got some work to do. And yet at the same time, we can sense that maybe it is burdensome and hard. And at the same time, we need to be reminded not to let that frighten us. Because the reality is, you're ready for it. That's the whole point. Right now, you are fully equipped to do all that God has for you in this moment. And even as a matter of fact, we want to see that God has been preparing you to meet a specific set of challenges since even before you were born. Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Do you get that? I mean, that's so powerful. At the same time, sometimes life throws things at us that we're trying to figure out how to unpack them. And so earlier this week, I had an opportunity to sit with our friends, Mark Zimmerman and Gabe Collins, on the Mornings with Mark and Gabe show on WJKA Heartfelt Radio, 91.9 FM in Akron. And it was just interesting that one of the things that came out in the conversations is as we were doing the Wednesday morning Bible study, and I decided to unpack even more of these verses that we were looking at and get the wisdom that they might have to share about understanding what this means. So both in Mark's story and Gabe's story, and to be honest, my story, and I'm guessing most of our stories, we have these moments where life throws us what we think is a curveball. It could be a change in jobs, it could be a change in our health, change in circumstances and relationships, change in financial status, just pick whatever it is. And it's interesting, the metaphor that Mark and Gabe and I've talked about before is this idea of being in the hallway of life, right? Waiting for God to show up and take us to our next room or our next opportunity. And so just check out this conversation we had midway through our conversation around this prayer of Agur.
Wow. You know, I'm glad you mentioned the hallway.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought about the hallway in this when I was reading this.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, we've all spent time there, right? You've been in the hallway before, mm-hmm. right, Pastor? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's been there. Yeah. And I think sometimes that's where the Lord has to put us so that we, you know, because of that thin line,
right.
So that we aren't falling off. Because, you know, if he gives us too much, you know, it's just, give me neither poverty nor riches. Because we can just take it the wrong way. And then he has to put us in the hall for a while until we figure out, you know, I gotta stay on this route. I need my daily bread. I need you every day.
Right.
For those of you who are just tuning in and are just joining
us. He's going to give the definition of the hallway.
Yeah. You know, you've heard Andre using all his little words that he uses. Well, the hallway is a Mark and Gabe-ism. For the time we spend away from doing what we love to do.
What we love to do, yeah.
Not necessarily of our own accord. We've been put in the hallway by people who said, no, you can't work here anymore.
Mm.
And, or you're going to have to struggle with things for a while out here, away from where the people are, because inside, we're part of the conversation.
Well, and the Lord.
But when we're out in the hallway,
the Lord is saying, hold on a minute.
Yep.
You're on break.
Yep.
Until you figure some things out.
Right. And for me, when I worked through one of those transitions, I remember there's a guy by the name of Gary Barklow who was part of John Eldridge's Wild at Heart ministry, and I was actually with him in Colorado. And there was 400 of us in this conference room in a Young Life camp, but he talked about how in his mind, because he had worked through one of those kinds of moments, being mm-hmm. in the hallway, it was very difficult,
mm-hmm.
of seeing in the context of assignments. That if we see our lives as God is, you know, we get the opportunity to do assignments, you know, mm-hmm. like a news reporter. You go from story to story, and the question is, what do you learn in the process from one to the next, and how will God show up in that? And I think that's the part where, in the moment, you know, when you have that hard conversation, it's like, so your services are no longer required here? And mm-hmm. it's like, ah! And then the question really is, do you trust that God is in the midst of that?
Right.
Amen.
Right. And you give glory to God. No matter what.
Well, you try to, right?
Yeah.
But you sort
right.
of
well, you
honest,
have to learn. Yeah, you have to learn to.
You're honest, like Agur is to say, look, I'm sort of not. I'm a little dense here, God.
Yeah.
And which is good when you talk about the Psalms the same way. I mean, most of David's Psalms are like, okay, God, I just don't get this.
Mm-hmm.
Why
mm-hmm.
is it? Why is it that the bad people are triumphing and I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to be doing and I'm not really getting the kind of traction, you know? Or you get called into a new job and you're having to deal with difficult co-workers, right? It's like, well, wait a minute. I thought this was going to be a great opportunity. Then you have to figure mm-hmm. out how to navigate all that. But that's because, you know, we're all broken, right?
Yeah. And that's exactly why we have to take it on a daily basis.
Right.
And that's why we need him every day.
Right. And you know, Agur's like, focus in. Not on a bunch of things, two things, right?
Yeah.
Get the truth.
Things.
You know, God reigns. He's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Our lives are going to be complicated. They're going to be complicated until things, as Paul says, are set right. All, you know, the beginning of all things new, right, with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the hope. That's the promise of the resurrection. But
so I hope you see. I mean, for all of us, the question is, do we live with a reality that God's in charge? I mean, we know that somehow life happens, the seasons come at us, and we end up waiting on whatever the next thing's going to be, whether it's a new job, a new responsibility, a new opportunity. And in the moment, it may look like something was taken away or that somehow we've been cheated. But if we live with a deeper sense of trusting God, we can see, like Mark and Gabe did, and me too, this new opportunity becomes a possibility, and we get to grow through it and into it, and God uses us even in a better way. Again, we're reminded that Paul says that you are his workmanship, and God has prepared you for your own workmanship, whatever that calling is. And so with that in mind, here's what I want to talk about in terms of the sweet spot. And I want us to see that it's available to anyone who's willing to seek God. And it's the answer to the most proverbial question, what should I do with my life, no matter what season you find yourself in? And I'm going to guess that one thing you probably won't be surprised is to hear that it really is about balance, right? I mean, last week we talked about the two extremes of just how we do sports or how we do work or how we do life, is that what we're looking for is not the extremes on either end, not too much or not too little. It really is like Goldilocks, is finding that thing for us that is just right. What I want to say real clearly here is that God's not asking you to sort of go back and forth down a dark, unfamiliar highway without a GPS and headlights or brakes. That would just not be a good thing. That's not what he's asking you to do. So at the same time, if we listen, we'll see that God wants us to use our gifts to glorify him. And we've talked about that before, right? Sola Deo Gloria, all that life. It's not secular or sacred. There's not church on Sunday and the rest of the week. That all of life is covered by the effort of the gospel for us to live fully in what God would have us to do. And so again, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, if you can dance, you ought to dance. And if you can write, you ought to write. And if you can build, you ought to build. And if you can plant, you ought to plant. And if you can hug, man, hug somebody. Does that sound obvious? Does that make sense? I mean, truthfully, I think too many people miss this point. And again, why over the last many weeks and even the last couple months, we've leaned into the series on how to bless our neighbors and how to understand the work of the Holy Spirit, because it's about equipping you as a participant in God's kingdom to be all that he desires for you. And it does take a little bit of work on your behalf. So again, I want to remind you, we were encouraging you to take a look at the spiritual gifts inventory. And again, if you've not done that, hop over to the website. There's a link here in the talk notes, and complete the spiritual gifts inventory. And then let us have a conversation how to help you better understand what God's asking you to do in the kingdom. Because too many times I think people think that when we listen to God, and that when we want to follow his plan, that it's going to be really complicated, as if God wants us to be confused. And I'm here to tell you that's not what his desire is for us. Or I think some folks actually think that if we work for God, that it's hard work. It's really, really hard work. And that it's mostly unfulfilling, or that it's backbreaking, as if God wants us to be miserable. And I can tell you, just in the season that I've been here at Linden Road and serving as pastor, you know, the joy that many of our folks have taken in serving in the Pots and Pans ministry, even though many of the folks that we serve, in fact, most, if not all, we'll never see them here in the building on Sunday morning. We do know that we are blessing them with an opportunity to know the love of Christ because of our providing for them with simple housewares and kitchenwares, just a way to touch them and encourage them to know that God loves them and cares about who they are and where they're at in life. Because many of the folks that need our services through the Pots and Pans ministry, life has been complicated for them. And thanks to your generosity and your faithfulness of time, talent, and treasures, we're able to do that. And it's just an amazing thing. And again, remind you that we're going to see how that can even blossom more fully as we see what Love Inc. is going to do as they begin to unveil their program for the community through their store located in downtown Mansfield. Now, that being said, and so when we think about why people have this sort of negative view about what God may have for them, why do you suppose that is? You know, what is it, do you suppose, that's happened to their life that's caused it to make them think that church, serving in the church, being in the church together, loving our neighbors well, can be boring or be painful. I can tell you the little things we've done around here, whether serving at the Easter egg drive-thru at South Park earlier this year, or doing the Halloween candy give out that we've done a couple times, actually hot dogs and potato chips too. We've gotten to know some of our police officers and some of our community, and it's just a way for us to be really practical with some fun, to love on our neighbors. And I even want to say that in this season, coming out of COVID, and we know that prior to COVID, many churches were struggling with trying to understand what the next thing was, not in the sense of programming, but knowing that church attendance was sliding and that church membership was sliding. And yet at the same time, we know that culturally, there's so much the church can offer in terms of how to love our neighbors and how to create opportunities for them to feel part of a deeper community. And I'm going to guess that part of it is we need to see things differently. And for those people who think that God is some kind of a burdensome God, I mean, it may be that they were taught that they were supposed to fear God because he only hands out judgment and wrath. Or maybe they think that something is easy or that it is personally satisfying that they shouldn't do it and that it's not worth doing. Or maybe it's that no one ever challenged them to actually chase after their dreams. Or maybe they just wrote them off as something that was impractical and never could happen. So at the end of the day, here's the challenge I want to leave you with. Don't be one of those people who perpetually set aside the things that you want to do and maybe the activities you enjoy because you think somehow they're not worthy, or you need to earn the right to be happy. Don't wait any longer for the stars to just line up right before you step out and follow your dreams. You need to consider the possibility that you can live in God's will. Embrace the idea today that you can live in God's will right this very moment. Again, we go back to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. You are God's workmanship. Say that out loud. You are God's workmanship. Put it in the chat to remind all of us that you are God's workmanship. And then when we do that, it'll help us to recognize and believe in even a deeper way that what you enjoy, what is your natural giftedness, is a gift you can give back to God. And so, in other words, don't exhaust yourself with sweat and study trying to be good at something that you don't care about. Instead, what God wants you to do is to put your best efforts into something that you're already good at and to take it to the next level. You may have to hone the skills. You may have to have a better understanding, but that's just the way you're wired, and that's a good and cool thing. And so, again, looking at the book of Ecclesiastes, if you can dance, commit to being the best dancer you can be. If you can write, commit every word to God's glory. It's a great reminder of Johann Sebastian Bach, the great musical composer who signed every piece of music, whether it was sacred or secular, SDG, Sola Deo Gloria, to remind all that to all it's for the glory of God. And if you can build, if you can work with your hands, commit to building things that last. And if you can plant, plant enough to share with others. And if you can hug, hug more. Now that we're post-COVID, we can do these things, right? Hug tighter and actually maybe seek out people who are hurting, who need to feel the love that you have to give. So I hope all of this sort of makes sense as we look at this, as we wrap up this prayer of Agur. And I want you to consider for a moment anyone you know, a friend or a hero, who excels at what they do. I mean, for us looking from the outside, looking in, it seems like everything they do is without any effort at all. And how do they do that? Well, maybe it's because they're doing for them what comes easy. I love watching my friend Mark Zimmerman when I'm in the studio with him, of just making it all work and making sure that the schedule happens the way it's supposed to happen and the news comes on when it's supposed to and the interviews happen. And it's just the joy that it brings and the way he's wired for that. You see, the reality is that everyone is just simply embracing their gifts. And again, I want to mention the spiritual gifts inventory. If you aren't not sure what your gifts are, let us help you unpack that. It's an easy, simple 80 questions that you can answer, and it'll give you some idea. They're not definitive, but at least it gives an idea of how you might think about things and how you might use your talents to serve the kingdom. Whether you know it or not, most people that are successful have discovered their sweet spot, where everything is working and tracking in the right direction. And what I want to suggest is it's your turn if you haven't done that yet. Open your eyes and open your heart and open your mind and open your soul to what you already know. And to be truthful, to be who God has made you to be, his workmanship. and to claim your title as the son or daughter of the great King, who is the one person in the world who is uniquely designed to be you and to do what only you can do. So again, in the thoughts of Ecclesiastes, do what you do best and do it with excellence and get ready to give God the glory. Let's pray.
So Jace Wolfer and I are out here somewhere in the middle of nowhere, but actually we're near Belleville, right?
Yeah.
So we just climbed a crazy hill, and of course the young man made it right up it, and I had to get off and walk, but we've been just talking a little bit about sweet spot. Now Jace is an avid runner. He's done the Boston Marathon. And I'm thinking, like, as I'm climbing this hill, as I just had to find that place where I was comfortable, right? Get a cadence. And how do you do that in running? Same kind of thing?
Yeah, you just focus, you just settle in, and just keep your, you still have your focus, you still have your eyes ahead, but you just focus and just kind of settle in and enjoy and take in the scenery and stuff, but you just, you just settle into a good pace and just kind of relax a little bit.
And that's like life too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because here in another week and a half, you're going to receive your daughter who's going to be born, right? We hope sometime in the next 10 days.
Yeah.
And so you're in a sweet spot right now this morning because it's Saturday and lots of margin. But in 10 days, it's all going to change, right?
Yep.
So it's a great metaphor of how we have to live our lives. So with that, sometimes life, you just have to, if you're in the hallway and waiting, you just need to wait it out. And while you're out there, you if there's a hill, fortunately, we're going to go down a hill. So we're going to get a little bit of a sweet ride back into Belleville. But just thought there was a little bit of teaching here we could do this in the moment. So blessings, everybody. Have a great week.